Okay, we're in Daf Chavos Zayin tonight. Let's just refresh our recollection of what we did last night and welcome Avram Elimelech. So yesterday we mentioned in the Mishnah said that if a woman was imprisoned by non-Jews for money, meaning that she is indebted to the non-Jews, it's like a debtor's prison, so muter labala. So even after she's released from prison, if the husband's a Kohen, she's permitted to him. We're not afraid that the Goyim violated her. And we're not afraid that the Goyim violated her because they're afraid they want their money, and they apparently, with their legal system, whatever, that would impair the right to recover the money. So therefore, she's good. Then in the Gemara, Rav Shmuel Rav Yitzchak said in the name of Rav that that's only the halacha if the Jews are generally running the show. So it sounds like the Goyim have their own courts, but the Jews are running the whole government. Then the Goyim will behave somewhat. But if the Goyim are running everything, then all bets are off, and then she has to assume that she's been violated. Okay, that was the Gemara. Then the Gemara brought up a Rava asked a question from the Mishnah in the Sechere Duyot. So the Mishnah said over there that there was a Bat Yisrael, a Jewish woman, that was Hurana Ba'ashkelon. She was married to a Kohen, but she had designated herself to be mashkon, like the pledge herself as security for a loan. So there's a default on the loan. They could do with her, treat her like chattel, and do with her as they choose. And then, as a result of that, so the mishpacha separated themselves from her, and it was a rechoshesh that she had been violated. And then, but she had edim that she produced that said that she was never alone, and never Tamea. So the Chum said, look, she's got Adim, so Mela, you have to assume that if you believe in the Adim, that she's Hurana, that she was designated as chattel or whatever, and seizes chattel, and believe him that she wasn't violated as well. So therefore, the Adim, nothing to worry about. So, but the Gemara made a deal from that Mishnah, Rabbit made a deal from the Mishnah. Ashkelon is a place where the Goyim are running the whole show. So if the Goyim are running the whole show, so Mela, then and Gemara assumes that just so if they're running the whole show, so Hurhana, we would have to, in other words, in this case she had Adim, but if she wouldn't have Adim, the implication would be that she'd be considered to be violated. And the Gemara, but Gemara takes it that's only the way Rava was asking the first lashon, only Hurhana, where she had pledged herself like a mashkon, but nech b'shalo, but if she had just been in prison, not. That's the stira. So in other words, from our Mishnah, it sounds like if she's imprisoned and the Goyim are in control, then she's assumed to be violated. From the Diyuk, from the Mishnah, they do, it doesn't sound that way. So the Gemara said, no, it would be the Zelbazach, the same thing. But the incident that occurred was this case of Hurana. Okay, let me go into the second line, the Chavzayin Amadal, 27a, the second line. Okay, so the Gemara says, Ikad Amri, others say, Amar Rava, Afanan Nami Tanina, that Rava did not pose the other Mishnah Masechet Eduyot as a question against Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak. He tried to bring it as a proof, like corroborate Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak. So he says, and again, we're going to go over what we did yesterday, and I reviewed briefly now. Rav Yosef Cohen, Rav Zichariah ben Akatzav, the Rav Yosef Cohen, Rav Zichariah ben Akatzav, like gave testimony, means halacha pesuka. It's like Masechet Eduyot. They're all giving ha'adah. So he says, Abat Yisrael shahur naba ashkelon, Abat Yisrael, this is on the Chavos Zayin Aleph on line 5, a Jewish woman that was designated as a pledge for a loan, an Ashkelon, and then Varicha Kubin Mishpachto, and then as a result of that, her family distanced, she was married to a Kohen, and the family distanced themselves from her. He says, V'edem yidin ala Ashkelon Nisra of Shlenidma, but she has Edim that she produces that say that nothing bad happened to her. V'amru Chachamim, the Chachamim said to the family, Imatem aminim shahurana, if you believe the Eidos that the Edom are saying that she was, you know, seized as chattel, Haminu Shlo Nistro Shlo Nidma, then you should, it's like Pesha Asra Pesha Hitir. If you believe in the Edom for one part of their testimony, that Hurana, that she was designated as chattel and seized as chattel, or, you know, as a pledge on the loan that was defaulted, so you should believe the Edom as well, that she wasn't violated. We made it to Haminu Shlo Nistro Shlo Nidma. If you don't believe the second part of the Eidos, that he was never violated, Al-Tamina Shurana, and then don't believe that she was, you know, declared to be like this pledge, like the chattel. It says, And again, we're assuming the same thing before, that Ashkelon is where the goyim are running the show. Ashkelon is like the mamon hava. So Ashkelon is a case where she was imprisoned on an issue of money. So she's imprisoned for money. And here we're thinking, it says, and the reason that she's not, you know, considered prohibited to her husband is because she has edim that are, you know, attesting that she wasn't violated. But if the edim would not testify on her behalf, flow. My love, so the Gemara wants to say that, in other words, in this lashon, Rav is bringing a proof to Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak. Shmuel Bar Yitzchak said that the halacha in the Mishnah, that when she's nechbasha b'yadav dekuchavim, she's muter labala, that's only when the Jews are in control of the situation. But if the goyim are in control of the situation, not. So here we have this Mishnah Mesechet Eduyot, where it's talking about a place where the goyim are in control of the situation. Here there was a mitigating factor that she had Edim, but if she wouldn't have Edim, so she'd be a history. And we think that there's no difference between Hurhana and Nechbasha. And Hurhana, where she was declared to be the pledge on loan, and Nechbasha, she's just in prison for a loan, stam. So if that's the case, assuming everything I said is correct, this would help corroborate Rav Shmuel Bar Rav Yitzchak Amarav. So the Gemara says, lo, Hurhana Shani. So no, it's not necessarily proof, because I can distinguish between the two cases. That case of Hurhana, where she's declared to be chattel, so in that case, I could say that if the goyim were running the show, that that indeed she would be considered to be violated, but maybe Nefesha not. In other words, because Hurhana, they feel free to use her as they would, but maybe Nefesha not this way. So again, so in the first lashon, we were asking a question and we were able to reconcile it. Second way, we were trying to bring a proof and we were able to reconcile it. But both cases, the Gemara is saying there's a difference between Hurhana and Nechbasha. Hurhana, where she's designating herself as the pledge, as the collateral on the loan. Nechbasha, she's just being in prison because of a failure to pay the loan. Let me just do six more lines, then we'll summarize, and then we'll go back and we'll take some questions, comments, and thoughts, okay? So now, the Gemara says, some want to say that the whole conversation went down different in the Beis Medrash. That before Rav Shmuel, in other words, in our Mishnah, in our Gemara, Rav Shmuel Rav Yitzchak is commenting on the Mishnah. He's saying the Mishnah says halakha A, that nech b'shara, then she aydi mamun muter labala. It's only Jews are running the whole situation. Goyim wouldn't be that way. So some want to say no. That's not the way the conversation went down in the Beis Medrash. Conversation went down, first it was a steer between the Mishnayot, and then to reconcile it, Rav Shmuel Rav Yitzchak made a statement. Let's see back in the Gemara. So he says, in essence, each one is saying the same thing. It's just getting there a different route. He says, some say that it was posed as a contradiction. In our Mishnah, we learn that if a woman is being held for money, so then she's permissible to her husband afterwards if he's a Kohen. Raminu, on this we pose a contradiction from the Mishnah Masechet Eduyot. Heid Rabbi Yossi Kulei. So it doesn't, here the Gemara doesn't repeat the whole Mishnah, but we've been through it several times. That about this woman that was Hurhana Ba'ashkelon. Ba'ashkelon Da'idei Mamon. Ashkelon is the place that she was seized for money. But Katani Tama Da'idei Midonota, and the implication is, but the reason she's permissible is because she has Edim who's testify that she was not violated. So the implication would be if she doesn't have any Edim, no. So here in our Mishnah, it's saying, you know, we don't know anything about Rav Shmuel Rav Yitzchak, but Goyim, Jews, the whole thing. All we know is Allah in our Mishnah says, if Goyim imprison her for money, she's permissible to the husband. And over there, the Mishnah Masechet Eduyot, the implication of the Mishnah Masechet Eduyot, is if she didn't have Edim and she was in prison for money, that she's prohibited to her husband. So he says, Umishani, so we're able to reconcile this apparent contradiction between two Mishnayot, Amrav Shmuel Barav Yitzchak Lo Kasha. There's no contradiction between the Mishnayot. Kanshadi Shotakip all of the Kukavim. Our Mishnah here in Mesech Tubot is talking about the Jews run the show, so the Goyim are a little like inhibited in the way they would normally behave. Kanshadi of the Kukavim to keep a Latzman. Over there in Mishnah, Mesechet Eduyot, in the incident in Ashkelon, so and again, it's a euphemism. The Goyim, not the Atzman, the people on the Jews. They weren't want to say that. The Goyim rule the Jews. So then I have to assume that she's violated. Okay, let's just summarize again what we did. And we'll take questions, comments, and thoughts. Okay, the basic idea There's just a few variables. The one variable is whether nefesha or hurhana. Nefesha is she's just seized for the failure to pay a debt, and the way Rashi learns in the Sefer Avodah Zarah, Robert, is that she's the debtor. I know you read a different shot yesterday in the Shines also. You read that her husband was the debtor. Okay, but either way, but she seized for a debt, and then there's hurhana, where she had been designated as the mashkon, as the pledge for the loan. So if you default on a loan, I get to use the mashkon however I want. She's like chattel, like that. So that's one distinction. And the other is, are Jews generally in charge of the society or goyim are in charge of the society? So in our mission here, Maseches Suvos, that we did yesterday and we did several times today, so if the woman was in prison for failure to pay a debt, and then notwithstanding that, when she's freed, she's permissible to her husband, who's a Kohen, because we're not afraid the Goyim violated her, because the Goyim are afraid to, you know, negatively impact her claim, you know, for the money. And if they violate her, they'll negatively impact the claim. So then Rabbi Yitzchak said, yeah, that's only if it's a Jewish, you know, run society, but if it's a Goyish run society, all bets are off. And then we learned the Mishnah Masechet Eduyot, which said that if a woman's hurhana, she was designated as like a pledge, as like collateral for a loan. So if she has eidim that, you know, testify she wasn't violated, she's okay. But if no without eidim, she'd be in gehakta tzuris. And Ashkelon is a place where the goyim run the fairs. So the implication the Gemara thought is that would only be dafka if it's hurhana, if she was as a pledge, not just tam nefesha. So the Gemara says, no, it could be Nefesh as well. Just that was the way that the halakha played out. And then the Gemara had different variations. But at the end of the day, this is the six in one, a dozen in the other. You get the idea. Any questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did so far? Right. There were at one point in time. You know, it's interesting. You know, obviously in time of Tanakh, the Plishtim were there. But, you know, when the, right now it's Gaza, you know, when the, you know, Palestine is from the word Philistine. In other words, and with the Romans, when they came into Eretz Yisrael, so when they conquered the Jews, so it was still called Judea. And like the coin says Judea Capta. Then later on, they changed the name. They call it Palestina or whatever. They're the ones from the Plishtim. What? Who, what? Yeah. Really? Who says that? Who says it? Who says that? All right, what? Yeah, okay. I want to corroborate that. I'm very surprised about that. I want to corroborate that. But I mean, I'll look in the dictionary. But thank you for saying that. Okay, did you hear that? So the Avram Elimelech says that Scallion comes from Ashkelon. Okay, the etymologically speaking. Okay, all right. I'm going to move on the next few lines, and we'll stop again, and we'll figure this out. Okay. Welcome, Rafi. Okay, so Tav Zayin and Aleph, we're four lines above the Mishnah, okay? So now we're at the two dots. So the Mishnah said, now in the Mishnah, last part of the Mishnah, let me go over the Mishnah again. The Mishnah said, Al Yidei Nefasho Rasur Labala. The Mishnah said, and Rashi explains in his Pirush on the Mishnah, he says that Al Yidei Nefasho Shaitani Donate Lamut, that she was adjudged to be executed. So if she's being held for execution, so then you have to be kosheish that she was violated. Then she's asura labala. In other words, whatever happens afterwards, or whatever, even if there's a stay of execution, she's prohibited on her husband. And here, the Mepharshim say it might even be the husband's Yisrael, because some want to say that she might have voluntarily, you know, engaged in relations with her captor in order to secure her release. And so that's prohibited. So now, let's see our Gemara now in Chav Zayin Amud Aleph, four lines above the Mishnah. So Amar Rav, Rav says, and he says in the Bachas, so Rav says the Mishnah could be talking about like the wives of thieves. So here it's coming out a little differently than the way Rashi explained the Mishnah, but this could be also this case. So if you look at the Rashi around six lines from below where it gets wide, Haninashe Ganave, Shabalem Nitlin, their husbands are, you know, hanged, you know, for thievery. That's their but derech hamalchut lafkir beit hamishayim, that the, you know, whatever rulers had, they would be mafkir their wives and their property. In other words, like the husband is being hanged, and then the wives are forfeit. So that would also be a case. So if it's a case like that, you know, then you have to be concerned that she was violated. In other words, and she's in captivity. And then back in the Gemara, he says, Levi Amar, Levi says, Gon Ishto Shaben Dunoi. Levi says, Levi disagrees with Rav. In other words, in Echinami, he agrees with Rav that the Ganavim were hung, but he doesn't agree that the wives were, you know, their lives were forfeit or their, you know, their hefker. Levi therefore says, Ishto Shaben Dunoi. Ben Dunoi, then you look in Rashi, he was a well-known murderer. Bielazar Shemo, sounds like he's Jewish. So he said they would only be mafkir the wives of the husbands were murderers. It's interesting, you know, like we have in the Gemara Masechet Shabbat Ben Rusai. So like Rav Willig says he's like Billy the Kid. So Ben Dunai, I guess, is Jack the Ripper. But if his name's like Ben Rusai and Ben Dunai, then that's it. Right, let me do two more lines and we'll pause. The idea being, if the woman is seized and her life is forfeit, then you know you can't be rest assured that she wasn't violated. Okay, now Amar Chizkiya v'hushnei mardinan lahariga. So Chizkiya says that's only if nigmar dinan, in other words, that there was already like conviction that to be executed. Rabbi Yochanan Amar af mishlo nigmar dinan lahariga. Yochanan says even if there's not a final, you know, conviction that they're supposed to be executed. Okay, give me one second, and I'll pause. One second. Yeah, means the husbands, right. So according to Chizkiya, the husbands were actually sentenced to death, and according to Rabbi Yochanan, even if they weren't sentenced to death, but the wives are still forbidden from them under those circumstances. Okay, these are questions, comments, thoughts on anything I did so far. Yeah, I don't know how much of a trial they get, but in other words, like if there hasn't been like this, like I don't know, warrant for their death or whatever, or you know, like that, like a final. Again, the goyim are running the show with this. If the, you know, like the order, you know, signing off the execution hasn't been done yet, so Rabbi Yochanan says still, yeah. All right, yeah, okay. I'm going to go on unless anybody has any questions. Okay, the next mission. Everybody ready? Okay, Manitin. Here's the Kavshu Karkom. Now you have a city that's like that was conquered by a besieging army. And Rashi looks at here in the here we have another etymology. He says Manitin Karkom Matsur Matargmin and Karkuma. So the word Matsur, which is coming up in a few weeks in the Kriya Satorah, which means besiege. You know, if you'll besiege a city, so the Torah talks about this. So it says that's Karkoma. So back in that's where Karkom comes. So back in the Mishnah, Yershikav Shu Karkom, if a besieging army conquered the city, Kohonot Shims Kutokapsula. Kohonot here means the wives of Kohanim. The wives of Kohanim. This is Kohonot Shims Kutokapsula. Again, and Rashi points out right away, look at Rashi, Sura Sur Balein, the Asia Kohen Asura Bonus. If a wife of Kohen, even if she's raped, she's prohibited to her husband. So here, if this besieging army conquers the city, obviously non-Jews, the Mishnah is talking about, then all the Kohenot are presumed to be violated. He says, "V'miyeshlam edim," back in the Mishnah, "V'miyeshlam edim, afilu eved, afilu shifcha." But if they have edim, witnesses to support the fact that they were not violated, even if the aid is an eved kanani, or a shifcha kanani, are elu ne'manim, then. That would they would be those the aid the Eved and the Shifcha would be Neman. Neman Adam Al Yedei Atzmo. A person is not Neman, testify concerning himself, okay, or herself. All right, I'm going to move on to some of his questions from the Mishnah. What's up? Wait, Fern. I have Rafi, then I'll get to you. What's up? All right, we're going to talk about Yerushalayim Bechor Bana. But the So I again, he's it's talking about here like a wartime situation where there's an army there and the army is like occupying the city. So I don't think that's exactly the way it was, you know, in the earlier years. What's up, Fern?
Are they talking about one aid or two aidim? Because it should say afilu avadim, afilu shfachot.
We'll come to the Gemara. We'll come in the Gemara. All right, we'll see in the Gemara. All right, let's take a look. Now, All right. So the Gemara. So the idea is that that if an army comes to the city, so the wives of the Kohanim are prohibited to their husbands because we assume they were violated. So Gemara Ramina, we pose a contradiction. This is from a Mishnah in Masechet Avodah Zarah. So the Mishnah says, wait. Yeah, Avodah Zarah. Yeah. So Ramina, Baleshet Shabbat Yir. Now Baleshet is a marauding army coming to the city, and here Rashi comes in and helps us again. Let's look at the Rashi. See, Rashi is very attuned to the words, the etymology. So Karkom, again, look, he's able to refer right away to the Targum. Baleshet. It's like an army, but they're searching for all the hidden things. And you see a little squealy circle. It's the Gilgamesh. Look at the Gilgamesh. He says, and the Gilgamesh, Rabbi Kiva Eger, he pasuk by chapeis bereishit mem dalet a targum ubalash. So again, look how they were so, you know, bekiyim in the targum. It's not easy to, you know, come up to word and say, oh, the targum over here or there. So, but Rabbi Kiva Eger says, this is by chapeis. Where does it say by chapeis? Where does it say by chapeis in Chumash? Where does it say by chapeis? Okay, so it's talking about when the brothers, they leave Yosef, and then the Eved of Yosef comes and overtakes them, and he's searching their satchels. By chapeis, by gadol heichel, by katon kilai. It begins with the older brother, and then he finishes with the katan. So by chapeis, a targum ubalash. The targum on that is balash. He searched. So Balash is to search. So back in the Gemara, so Balashit is an army, like a marauding army that's, you know, searching for, you know, items. In other words, you know, valuables. Raminu Balashit, back in the Gemara. Raminu Balashit Shabbat Yir. Balashit came to the city, marauding army. B'sha'at Shalom, Chaviyu P'tuchot Asurot Stumu Mutarot. So if it's a time of relative peace and the army is there, so then the open caskets of wine are prohibited. In other words, here, I'm choshesh, again, this is a Mishnah Masechet Avodah Zarah. So what are we choshesh for? For Yayin Esek. We're concerned that the Goyim are using the wine to bring the Nesachim to the Avodah Zarah, in which case it's Asur Bahana for the Jew. So he says, Chavir Ptuchot, the open caskets of wine are prohibited, even though I didn't see them do anything, but it's presumptively that they did Nesach Stuma Mutar, these closed ones are permissible. Bishat Milchama, but let's focus, Bishat Milchama, Elu Elu Mutarot. In a time of Milchama, they're both permissible. Why? The Pishay and Penai, then I say, there's no time to do Nisach Ayayin. They're too busy fighting a war. So here, the Gemara wants to say that you see, at time of Milchama, the army is busy, you know, fighting the war. They don't have time for other activities. So how come Armish just says you have the army that's conquering the city, and now I have to be concerned for all the Jewish women in the city? So were the wives of Kohanim in the city. So Amar Rava Mari. So Mari says, "Lavol yesh penai, let us say chen penai." That Inak and Nami are busy, but do the Yetzahara. Look at Rashi. The Rashi, "Lavol yesh penai," it's got the takif Yitzrayu. In other words, they have, you know, strong urges, so they find time to, you know, violate the women. But for the Avodah Zarah, they don't have time for it. So Inak and Nami, we can distinguish between the two Mishnayot and say Inak and Nami, they're both talking about wartime situation. But there is still concern for women being violated, but not for Nisa Chayayim. Rabbi Yisca Bar Lazar, Mishpachin the Chizki Amar, Kan Bekarkom Shel Tamalchut, Kan Bekarkom Shel Malchut Acheret. Now here, the Gemara shifts slightly, even though it says Kan and Kan, Rabbi Yisca Bar Lazar, the Chizki that we distinguish, even in terms of violating the women, whether it's a Karkom Shel Tamalchut, if it's, you know, my country's or the neighboring country's army, so then I could assume that the women were not violated because the ruler wants to, you know, cultivate good relations with the inhabitants. If it's a karkom, a besieging army from, you know, an alien nation, then you have to worry about things happening. So the Gemara says, but even if it's like, even if it's, you know, our nation, or wherever, you know, our the you know, the local ruler, can't it be that one soldier slipped through the lines and did whatever he wanted to do? So how can you rest assured that the women have not been violated? Amar Rav Yudah Mar Shmuel, Mishmarot Ro'ot Zuitzu. So Rav Shmuel said to Mishmuel, this would be a situation where, like, the army posts, you know, sentries around the city, And each sentry sees the next sentry, and they're guarding the city. Nobody from the army is entering the city. So the Gemara says, notwithstanding that, Yifshar will name a Purta. So still, can it be that one of the soldiers falls asleep or whatever? So Amar Rebbe Levi, he went to Mahadul Alamata, Shushil to the Kalba, the Gavs of Yavaza. So he's talking about a situation where they surrounded the city with chains and dogs and spikes and geese. So three of them are like the warning system. In other words, if you have the chains, so somebody checks over the chain and you hear the clanking. You have the dogs, you check over, woof, 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 woof. And then Abbas of the geese, I wouldn't have thought of this, but the geese, they're all, you know, whatever they do, the geese do, that they, what do they do? Honk, okay. So Robert says the geese honk. So the geese will honk. And then the gavza are the stakes that they'll just make it difficult to cross over. So under those circumstances, we think that they'd be safe and sound, or under all of those circumstances. Let me do another six lines and I'll pause. Am Rabbi Abba Bar Zavda, Pliba Rabbi Yehuda Nasi of Rabban. So he says, this goof is my cloak between Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi is the grandson of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi and the Chachamim. Chadamar, Kanbekarkum Shlotam Alkud, Kanbekarkum Shlotam Alkud. One says there's a difference between whether it's our local neighborhood kingdom or it's the alien kingdom in terms of the status of the women. The Lokasha lay below Midi, and he had no problems making that distinction. In other words, fine. One is like the alien army. One's like the local army. Local army, nothing to worry about. He's not concerned about somebody like sneaking into the city. He says, "Bechad line four, but line fourth wide line. Bechad kashle kulhani, but the other sad, whichever sad it is, I don't know it's the chamim of Rabbi Yudinasiya. He was bothered kashle kulhani. He was bothered by can't the guy sneak in." Umishani going to Mahadul Lamata Shushil to the Kaaba Gavs of Avaz. And he said, no, it means like if the city is surrounded with security, then there's nothing to worry about it. Okay, well, let's just pause for a second, think what we learned, and then we'll move on. So the idea we're learning is basically that if I have a city and the Jewish people are in the city and the army invades the city, so then all the wives of Kohanim are pursued to their husbands. Then the Gemara seemed to qualify that and said that if the army would be from the Ota Malchut, like the neighboring Malchut, then that would not necessarily be the case. But the Gemara says, but even it's neighboring Malchut, because the king, let's see with Rashi on that. He says, one second. Yeah. If you look at the Rashi, it's around literally down the narrow lines, it's five lines below where it says Gemara. He says, Kargomash Ota Malchut. He doesn't want to like destroy the inhabitants in the city. He says, in other words, he wants the city to be, he doesn't want to destroy all life in the city. He wants it to be like a city that will pay taxes and be part of his kingdom. So if it's in a situation like that, then I don't have to worry that the women were violated. Otherwise, yes. And the Gemara says, well, even a situation like that, isn't there a concern that, some soldier will go and do what he wants because they're the whole law? So the Gemara says it means, according to like some opinions, that there was a security zone like around the city. And then under those circumstances, so nothing to worry about. Okay, who's requested to come to us anything we did so far? All right, let's go on. Now, okay, so now we're around the fifth wide line or medium wide line. So now, this is going back to the situation where the marauding army is coming in, and there's a presumption that the women have all been violated. So Rabbi Yitzchak Ashen says, if there's like a hideout, like a bunker or something like, where the women can hide out, then she saves all the wives of Konim in that city. So he says, so by Rabbi Yirmiyah, so Rabbi Yirmiyah posed the following question. What if that whole sort of like, dugout or whatever is only large enough to hold one woman? Let's say there are 1,000 wives of Kohanim in the city and there's a dugout there. When I heard about this, in my mind, I'm thinking it's many, many, many years ago. I went with my family to the Thoreau Synagogue in Newport, Rhode Island. And who has ever been there, I'm sure you remember, like in the underneath the Bema, there's like this hole that, you know, was dug out, and they said, you know, they didn't know, like they thought maybe they wanted to remind themselves what it was like or whatever, I don't know, but it's like, you know, a hole, and it was like underneath the beam, you lift up the whatever it is, and then, you know, there's a whole space there. Anyway, so he says over here that let's say by Rabbi Yirmiyah, inamak sechel achat. Now, what if the space is only large enough for one woman, and I have 1,000 women who are possibly violated? So can I argue that each woman could have been the woman who was hiding out there, and then there I could be told a b'chav sukhus? Or maybe I don't say such a thing like that. So in essence, let's just kind of dice this up. In other words, if I look at each woman by themselves, there's a possibility they were there. If I look at all the women together, so they all could not be in that hole, whatever. So the Gemara says, "Umayshanam mishnei shvilin." So how is that different than the case of two shvilin, two pathways? And Daf Yomi, people may remember this case, but even if you don't, it's good to remember this case. "Umayshanam mishnei shvilin, echad tamei v'echad tahor." There were two pathways, and again, it's the Mishnah. Masechet Taharot, and we don't do Masechet Taharot in Daf Yomi, but you get a little taste of it here. Two pathways. One pathway had tuma on it. In other words, it's a dead person buried along the pathway, but we don't know where. He says Ve'echad Tahor. We don't know, and we don't know which one is tuma and which is tahor. In other words, I have path A, path B. I know one of the pathways has tuma under the roadway, but I don't know which pathway it is. So either A or B has tuma under it. Balach Be'echad Mehen. And then Reuven comes, he goes down one of the roadways, and he prepares Taharot. And then Shimon, his friend, goes the other pathway, and he makes Taharot. So what's the halakha? So again, before we get to what they're going to say, so if I look at it individually, I could say each one is a Safek Tum Rishus Arabim. Those are the Safek and Rishus Arabim Sveko Tahor. But if I look at it together, one of them is definitely Tommy. So let's see this. So let's see how the Mishnah dices this up. He says, "Rabbi Yehuda Omer in the Shal Zepeth Neyatzvah was Zepeth Neyatzvah Toro." Rabbi Yehuda says, if each one comes separately to the Bezdin and asks, "What's the halacha in my case?" We would say, each one, nothing to worry about. You're a Safek Tuma, and so mainly you're Tahor, Ruvain, and then Shimon shows up. We say you're a Safek Tuma, and so you're Tahor. If they both show up at the same time together to the Bezdin and say, "What's our halacha?" Tameo, they're both tamei. Rabbi Yossi Omer, we want to focus on Rabbi Yossi because the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi. That's the bottom line in Rashi. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Ben Kach or Ben Kach tamei. And either way, they're tamei, and we'll have to see in a minute what Rabbi Yossi means. But I'm a rabbi, Tim Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi said, and others say, Rabbi Yochanan said, "Vadachah to be called tamei." If they show up at the same time, then everyone agrees that they're tamei. If they come one and then another one comes, everybody's Torah. The only machloke between the Tanakama and Rabbi Yossi is if Reuven comes to Bezin and says, "What's my halacha?" and my friend who also went down the other road, and what's his halacha? In other words, his friend doesn't show up, but Reuven's asking on behalf of Shimon. He says, "Mar midamin le'libabarachad," meaning that would be Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says when Reuben is coming to ask him about himself and his friend, that's like Barachat and they're both Tmeo. That's what Rabbi Yossi means. Benkhaf Tmein. He says, Umar, Medamin Le the Zeah Farzet. Whereas Tanakama holds, that's like Zeah Farzet. And I see each one is Tahor. Now, remember our case was this hole in the ground or whatever, like this shelter. So only one woman can fit there, but I have 1,000 women in the city. Hakanami, now again, the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi. That's what Rashi points out. If you look at the bottom line of Rashi, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yossi. Halacha follows Rabbi Yossi. So now with these women, Hakanami came into Sharlu Hulukulu Kabarakatami. So now we're deciding what the status of the women is in the city. So we're deciding all the status at once. So that's like Barachat. Mela, so they should all be prohibited. That's what the Gemara wants to be Madame Milton Milton. So all the women, you know, we're going to, you know, pronounce the Pesach Halacha for all the women. So all the women are not in front of us now, but then if we call Rabbi Yossi's Halacha, they should all be Tameo because they all cannot have been in that shelter. So Lechora, that might be different, but that's the way we're taking it out. Now the Gemara says, Hachi Hasha, How can you compare the two cases? Hatam bada yiketuma. In the case with the two paths, without a doubt, there's definitely tuma in one of the paths, 100%. Hacha miyemar ditame. Can we say with certainty that the women have been violated at all? That's we're making a presumption they've been violated. We don't know 100% that they've been violated. Maybe there's more rounds to be made killed by the women. So let's leave that on a pause. Now, everybody good so far? What's up? No. This is a different parsha. This is like in the ground. I mean, they have shuls where there's a depression before the amud. This is like you're in. Anyway. No, I don't think there was an. When I went with my family when I was a youngster, they didn't say anything about it being an escape path. But they. Anyway. All right. Let's see back in the Gemara. All right, now the bottom line on Chav Zayin Maral, 27a, the bottom line. Okay, by Rabashi, Amra lo nefeiti lo nefeiti mahu. Now, Rabashi, now again, assuming the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi, that everybody's prohibited with that shelter. So Rabashi asks, what if the woman says, I didn't hide out in the shelter, but I wasn't defiled? So the Gemara says, mahu, miyamrinan, on the top line, on the Chavzayin of the Bays, Miyamrinan, Mali L'Shakir. Mali L'Shakir is like amigo. Do I say that we should believe this woman with amigo? Because we think that the better argument is I was in the shelter. But she doesn't say I was in the shelter. She says I wasn't violated. So that would be like amigo, we think. In other words, that the better lie would be that I was in the shelter. So you, Dilma Lo Amino, or maybe not. Again, that better lie is not such a better lie. In other words, better lie means with that lie is like the winning argument. But the shelter argument isn't such a great argument because not everybody can be in the shelter. So the Gemara says, "Umay shname humay said the hu gavra." So, well, how is this case now different from the following incident that we're going to learn? He says, "May humay said the hu gavra the agarle cham lechavrei." Reuven leased out a chamor to Shimon. Amarle, and Reuven says to Shimon, "Lo tezil beorcha de dahar pekod. Don't go by the path by the Pekod River." He says, the Ikamaya, there's like a lot of water there, flooding and things like that, and I don't want my chamor to wash away. Zil b'orcha dineresh, go by the pathway of Neresh. He says, the Lekamaya, over there, it's not so much flooded, it's drier. And you know what's going to happen. Ba'azaliyu b'orcha dinahar pagod. So he doesn't follow the instructions. He goes by the pathway by the Pekod River. Umid chamara, and the donkey died. He says, atul kami derava. So he says, so he, the lessee, comes before Rava. He says, Amarle, he says to Rava, in Be'orcha de Nahar Pekod Azli, I did go by the pathway by the Pekod River, miu lo havumaya. The Tamor didn't die from the water. There wasn't water over there. Everything was dry. That's what he says. So Amar Rava, Rava says, Mali the Shakir. He says, why would he, in other words, isn't that he's Naaman with amigo? In other words, if he wanted to make the better argument, he could say, I did everything according to what I was told. I didn't go to the Pekod River. I went near Neresh. I took the pathway near Neresh. Instead, he says, yeah, I didn't follow instructions, but the donkey didn't get washed away from the flooding. But Amarle Abaye, that's what Rava says. So Abaye says to Rava, Mali Neshakir Makom Edim Lo Aminan. In other words, this Mali L'Shakir is saying, in other words, we're going to believe, in other words, ostensibly, we're going to believe him that he went near the Pekod River, but there was no flooding near the Pekod River. So Abai says, there's so much flooding near the Pekod River. In other words, going near the Pekod River is like Eastern Kentucky now, where there's a lot of flooding. In other words, we say it was dry, and everybody knows it's not true. So we don't have Adam specifically in this case, but there's an idea of Anan Sade. Like we're like the Adam. So you can't have amigo against an Anan Sade. In other words, Anan Sade, it's as good as Adus that there was flooding there. We don't believe you with this amigo. So he says here, Mali Shakamayim Lomina. So the Gemara wants to say the same thing with this woman. In other words, we're going to believe her ostensibly that she, her claim is that he says, I didn't hide. But I wasn't defiled. That's it. I wasn't, and because Mali is shocked here, because she could have said this better lie. So he says here, let's see back in the Gemara. Yeah. So here, the Gemara wants to say the fact that she was defiled is like that's a well-known fact that the women are defiled in the city when the army comes in. So we don't believe her, even with the Migo. That's what he wants to say. That's what Abai wants to say. So the Gemara says, Hachi Hashda, how can you compare the two cases? The Gemara is slugging up Abai's comparison. Hatam Bada Ika Edim, the Ikamaya. In other words, the fact that the Code River is flooding, that's Davar Mafursam, that's accepted as fact. Haka Bada Itame Hashashahu. Here, is it, I should read it, Haka Bada Itame. Here is it a Badai that she was defiled? You know, he says, Hashashahu, it's a concern that she might have been defiled. Where I have a chashash, I would say the migo. In other words, I can't have the migo against the Nanan Sadeh, which is something that's like so yadum ufursam that everybody accepts it as fact. But if it's a chashash, like a possibility, then I will say the migo with that. Okay, let's just digest what we did, and we'll talk for a minute now. Okay, so we got into this topic of if there is a hideout in the city. So then if there's a place where everybody can hide, then all bets are off. But let's say the hiding place is just large enough for one woman. Is that enough to be done the mall of Chapsukos? So it came out for Yossi, nah, the hiding place for one woman wouldn't do the trick. Then Ravashi says, what if a woman says, I didn't hide out, but I wasn't defiled. If she named on with amigo, because the better argument is to say that she had hid out. And again, you could argue against that amigo that it's not such a great argument to say I was hiding out, like, and then it would relate to the previous sugya. But anyway, so do we say that amigo or not? So the Gemara ends up saying that we could say the amigo. Rava says the Baya has some questions about it because he wants to say that she wasn't defiled is like saying that the Code River is dry or there's no flooding there. But it's not exactly the same thing because Code River, that's an Anan Sadeh, and this is not an Anan Sadeh. He says, again, look at the top line in Rashi. He says, "Makom Edim, the Anan Sadeh, the Chol Shata Ikamaya." It's like we testify. It means like a known, well-known fact that there's always water there. Okay, who's the questions, comments, thoughts on anything we did so far?
Just on that issue before where you hold like Rabbi Yossi because of when he asked, so that he got the psak on both of them, so they were both tmeim. Does that bring out that maybe you shouldn't ask at that point? You should have successive askers if you know what's up.
I know that's the person's decision, but we deal with what took place. I don't know. I mean, if you know the halacha, then there's another way to handle it. But we're dealing with that. This is what took place. All right, let's take a look further in the Gemara. All right, now. We're at the two dots. Okay, so again, so we said that if, again, with this marauding army that comes into the city or the besieging army, let me see again. One second. Right. So this was in the Mishnah. So this was the Karkom, the siege army. So if there are Edom, if the women have witnesses, they weren't molested, so the witnesses are believed. Okay? So again, so the Mishnah says, the Mishnah of Chavzayin Amalim says that the Edom can even be an Eved or even a Shifta. The witnesses are believed. So you would ask me before for one or two. It seems like from the Gemara, it's one witness is enough. Okay? One witness. Okay? So the Gemara says, so the Gemara deduces that even her own personal shifta, in other words, her slave woman, her shifta kanani, would be believed to say that she, the mistress, you know, was not violated. So we pose a contradiction in this from the Mishnah Masechet Gittin. So the Mishnah says, now this Mishnah is talking about a man who's a shechiv meirah. On his deathbed, he writes a get to his wife because he's concerned that the wife shouldn't be locked into a yibum situation with his brother. And he says, but he says that the get will be effective 1 hour before I die. That's what he says. 1 hour before I die, this get will be, here's the get, be effective 1 hour before I die. So the halacha is, at that point, she cannot be miyachid. She can't be alone with him anymore because there's a concern on a Rabbanan level that if she conceives a child and people will see the date on the get, and then she'll assume that she conceived after she was divorced. So that would be a get yashan, and that would pass the get. So the Gemara says, let's see back in the Gemara. She shouldn't, and it was after he gives her the get, she shouldn't be alone with her husband anymore. Only if there are Edom. And Edom here means even one person present. Even if just an Eved is there, an Eved Kani, except for her own Shifta is not good enough, because she's so comfortable with her own Shifta. So in other words, anybody else being present with them all the time, so we can rest assured that they won't have intimate relations. But with her own Shifta, she feels so comfortable. Her own Shifta, she's then right, so then she could have relations even if the Shifta is present. So the theory is, here it sounds like the Shifta, you know, like she'll do anything with the Shifta being there. So if that's the case, presumably the Shifta would also lie for her and say she wasn't violated. That's the concern. So how come our Mishnah says that her own Shifta is enough, can testify on her behalf that she was not violated, and the Mishnah Masechet Gittin says her own Shifta is not enough to guarantee that she's not having relations with her husband? So Amar Papi B'shvi Hikilu. So Papi says Inachinam is a different halacha. And normally we're worried about this, but by shvuya, by a captive woman, which is this case of, you know, that she's subject to the goyim, so there's a leniency in halakha for her. But Papa says no, absolutely her own shifcha is not neman to testify that she was not violated. It's only his shifcha would be neman to testify that she was not violated. And over there, it's talking about in Gittin with her shifcha. So in Elkanami, her shifcha does nothing. In other words, but his shifcha would be different. He says, the shifcha d'idah lo mehemna, I mean, her own shifcha would not be believed. Hakatani, we learn in the Mishnah, this is a paraphrase of the Mishnah, in adam meid alatzmo. A person can't testify on his own behalf. Again, the Mishnah didn't exactly say that. The Mishnah said, that a person isn't believed on his own. But he says, "Hashifcha d'idah mehemna." In other words, implying that her own anybody but themselves would be neman. So the Gemara says, "Shifcha tanami ka'atzma dami." No, it could be. I could learn Pshat in the Mishnah that she and the shifcha are like alter egos of the same person, and Mela, the shifcha is not reliable. Okay, so let's just pause for a second. So we said that anybody can testify on behalf of the woman. Even an Eved Kenani, even a Shifcha, that she was not violated. But the Mishnah Masechet Gittin said that she can't be alone with her husband who gave her a get, and otherwise it turns into a get yashan. So, and we said that her own Shifcha is not enough there. So either in Achinami, her own Shifcha is not enough over there, but over here there's a Kula by Shvuya that we're going to accept the testimony. Or in Achinami, her own shifcha would not be neman in this case, but it means his shifcha would be neman, not her shifcha. Okay, now I have to keep moving because we're running out of time and we only have 10 minutes left, so please excuse me. Okay, Rav Ashi Amar, hab shifcha diga. He says, Rav Ashi says, I could say both Mishnayot, the Mishnah Masechet Gittin, and the Mishnah here, Masechet Tubot, are both talking about her shifcha. So our Mishnah says her shifcha can testify on her behalf, and the Mishnah over there says that the Shifcha's presence doesn't guarantee they didn't have relations. The Shifcha makes the Fazio of a Shakra. He says, the Shifcha will see things and keep quiet, but to lie on her behalf, she ad kdei kach not. So over there, the Shifcha will see them having relations and she'll shut her mouth. But over here, to affirmatively testify falsely, ad kdei kach not. This hatam d'shtikata matirata lo mehemna. Over there, the Shifcha's silence would be mad to her, to her husband. So the husband number two. In other words, so then that's on them on. He says here, her silence answers her. In other words, if she's silent, doesn't say anything, so then she's prohibited on the husband. In other words, she has to affirmatively testify on behalf of her mistress. And so Hashnami, So the Gemara says, Hashanam Yakim Shakra. So maybe she'll be quiet and she'll also lie for the mistress. Parti Loavda. In other words, to do Akti Katna. In other words, to be silent is one thing, but to affirmatively lie for the mistress, Akti Kach, she wouldn't do. That's what the Gemara wants to say. Okay. So again, let's just focus on Rabashi for 1 second, and I have to keep moving. So we have our Mishnah here, which seems to say that a woman's shivcha is neman to establish that she wasn't violated by the karkom, by the besieging army. And the Mishnah Masechta Gittin says her mistress, her shivcha rather, is not enough to establish that she didn't have relations with her husband who gave her a get. So the so Rabashi says that they're both talking about her shivcha, but to be silent, the shivcha will be silent. She'll shut her mouth, they're having relations, she won't say anything. But to lie and to affirmatively testify that she was not violated, the shivcha wouldn't do that. Right. So in the get case, we don't trust, but here we do trust. He had the Mari Bar Isaac, like this incident with Mari Bar Isaac, but Ami La Chana Bar Isaac, Atlele Achami Bechuza. A brother who he didn't know showed up from this place, Bechuza. Amale Plogli Benesse Da'abi. He says, I'm your long lost brother. Let's divide up our father's assets from the estate. Amale Lo Yadanalath. I don't know you from Adam. He says, Atla Kami Drev Chista. So the brother shows up before Rav Chista. This is the brother who wants the Yerusha. And Rav Chista says, Amalei Shapir Kabbalah. He said, right. That Yosef recognized his brothers, but the brothers didn't recognize him. When Yosef left his brothers, he was 17. His beard wasn't fully grown in. And the next time he saw him, he had a full beard. So they didn't recognize him. Same thing. You went off and you're a brother. Maybe he saw you when you were 10. And now he doesn't know you from Adam. So he says, Amalei. So I think you need to bring Edom to attest the fact that you are indeed a brother and entitled to your estate. So he says, the brother says, but they're afraid to come testify because Mari Bar Isaac's a strong guy. He means, like, I don't know, he's got a lot of influence, whatever, or a gangster type. They're afraid to testify what he's going to do to them. So Amalei, the day. So then Rav Chista turned around and he said to Mari Bar Isaac, Zeal, and what's the Aleph? Zeal Aitiat Gulabahuhu. I'm shifting the burden of proof. Now you, the established brother, have to bring evidence that this claimant is not your brother. So Amarlay, Dina Hafi, is that the din, he says to him? The din that I'm familiar with is the one the claimant has to prove his case. He's the claimant. I'm the Muksak. He's got to prove his case. Amarlay. So Rav Chista said to him, that's the way I judge your case and all the other like very strong people like you. So now the Gemara is saying like this. If the concern is that the first Edom, like they're going to like be silent because they're afraid of this guy. So maybe the Edom that he produces to say that the other guy's not his brother, they'll lie because he's a you know, a lama. In other words, he's a strong guy. They're all afraid of him. He's like the mafioso. He's like the godfather. So if Edom are afraid to testify for the claimant brother, so any Edom he produces that he's not the brother, they'll lie through their teeth because he's such a strong guy. So he says, Hashanam Yachim Shakre. So the Gemara says, in the same fashion, like he uses the same svara, Parki Lo Avdi. In other words, it's one thing to remain silent. Yeah, out of fear, people will shut up and they won't say anything. But to cause somebody to give a false shvuah bebezdin, akdekach, that he wouldn't do. Okay, but this is the same idea we had before. I have to keep moving. Please excuse me. Okay, 5 lines above where it gets wide. Lema kitanai, should we say that whether the shivcha is nemen or not? We had a machloken amarayim above, whether a woman's shivcha is nemen to testify on her behalf or not. So some of the amarayim said yes, and some said no. So should we say that's really a machloken tanayim? Now, this is the brisa. Zu Eidut, in other words, this is the Eidus that can establish the woman's bona fides. Ishva Isha, a man or a woman, Tinok Betinoket, or a child, they can all testify that she wasn't violated. Avia Vima, her father or mother, the Achiva Achota, her brother or sister, Avalobina Wita, but her son and daughter not. He says, Lo Abdab Shivchata, neither her Eved Kanani nor her Shivcha Kanani. So the first Bryce says, Mefurash, that her own shivcha, everybody else under the sun can testify that she wasn't violated, but her own shivcha cannot. He says, "V'tani idach." I learn another brayta. I call neman and ha'id. Everybody's neman to testify on her behalf. Puts me himenu bala, except from herself and her husband. So himena means in this case herself and her husband. So the Gemara. So I have two braytas. One braysa seems to say that the shifcha could testify on her behalf. One not. So the verse is Rapapi and Rabashi Tanahi. So Rapapi and Rabashi, who said above that the Shifcha could testify, they're going to have to say it's a machloka Tanayim, and we are a Marayim, we don't argue with Tanayim, but we'll go like the Tana that says that the first one, that they could testify. The Rapapa, Milema Tanayim. Now Rapapa says that the Shifcha cannot testify. So do I have to say within Rapapa that it's also a machloka Tanayim? So Rapapa would rather say everybody agrees with me that she cannot testify. So Amalak Rapapa, Rapapa would say to you, Kitanya Hibam Sikhal Pituma, that the Braisa that says that the Shifcha could testify, normally the Shifcha cannot testify. The Braisa that says the Shifcha could, quote, testify, unquote, isn't talking about testifying, it's Mesikhal Pituma, speaking her casual innocence conversation, which we spoke about yesterday, Mesikhal Pitumo. He says, Kiham, the Chiatra of Dini, Amar of Chanan Kartignam, I'm sorry, the Chiatra of Dini Amar, Rav Chanan Kartignam Mishtoi, that when Rav Dini came from Eretz Israel, he said that Rav Chanan from Carthage said, Maaseh Balat Nei Rabbi Shuben Levi, an incident came before Rabbi Shuben Levi, Ba'amri Lo Rabbi Shuben Levi Mishtoi, and others say Rabbi Shuben Levi is the one who said, Maaseh Balat Nei Rabbi, that one person was like talking in his innocence, but Amar, and he said, I'm a mother. So here, again, the son is not a person who's Naaman to testify that we saw, and he might even be a katan at this point. But in casual conversation, he said, my mother and I were captured by non-Jews. I went to, you know, draw water. I'm thinking about my mother. I'm focused on my mother. And I'm constantly keeping an eye on her. He see a Rebbe Lukun Apim. So Rebbe relied on that, you know, statement to marry off the mother. So Mesiach Lepituma might be different. All right. Let me make a run for the next few lines of the Gemara, and then we'll call it a day. Okay? So the next Mishnah. Manitin. I'm Rebbe Sechariah ben Akatzav. Sechariah ben Akatzav said, Hama'onazem could either be, like, he's taking Lashon Shvuah. Either could refer to the base of Mikdash or my owner, one of the seven heavens. But either way, he's taking a Shruah. Sounds like it's during the Korban base of Mikdash, apropos for these days, right before Tisha B'Av. He says that the husband's a Kohen, and he says that my wife's hand never left my hand the whole time, till we were able to exit Yerushalayim. Amru Lao said to him, a person can't testify concerning himself. So in other words, the husband's testimony is not adequate to testify concerning the wife. That's what he's saying. All right, now, let me just do a few lines and that'll be it. So the Gemara says, so she's prohibited him because he's a Kohen. So Tana taught a price of Apal Pichain, Yichal Abayit B'Chatzero. So notwithstanding that she was prohibited to him, he designated a house in the Chatzer for her to live. And Harris, if you're the only one here, please put on a talis and get ready to daven or find somebody. We have 1 minute. He says, and then when she would go out, Yotza Barosh Baneha, she would leave the kids. In other words, she didn't want to be alone with him in the chatzer. So when she would leave, she would be in the head of all the kids and kids behind her. And then when she comes back, then the kids would be in front of her. So she's never alone with the husband. He says, Baya Baya. So can I do the same thing with the Grusha and have her live in the Chatzer? There was a woman that I divorced. Do I say by the captive woman, they're more lenient about Hachalo, and here by the Grusha not? He says, oh, Dilmalo Shana. So Tashma, and we'll go over this more tomorrow, the Tanya, Megaresha Ishto, here's not talking about a Kohen. If a man divorces his wife, Lo Tina Se B'Shunato, and then she remarries, she should not live in his shchuna, in his neighborhood. Now, what's a shchuna? The way the Baalei Tosfot learned means like three houses together is the shchuna. I shouldn't have her close by. And one line here, but my Kohen lo three mo b'mavui. If he's a Kohen, she shouldn't be in the mavui with him, which the way the Baalei Tosfot leads further up, afar. Okay, I think we're going to go this tomorrow. Okay, that's it. We're out of time. Okay, I'm sorry, everybody.
that.